Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 28th on the West Coast, now June the 29th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network as well. Tonight, I have two guests with me who have been writing and following the stories of radiation around the planet. Certainly, we're seeing signs now that bioweapons are being used, probably in chemtrails, or even, let's say, in crop dusting mode. How much information is out there depends on what fear bells they want to ring. But we can tell you from behind the scenes that there are indications that people are coming down with some rather strange diseases, and this will probably continue. Now, interestingly, I actually heard something that was not recorded in the mainstream media, and I thought it would interest you. It seems that one of the Rothschild family, the heir to the Rothschild banking dynasty, Amschel Rothschild, committed suicide on June 12th of this month, hanging himself, the story is. Now, on the surface, that seems plausible. The reasons were the pressures of being such a high-profile figure in the banking industry. I'm sure that if you had trillions of dollars in your personal bank account that and were responsible for quadrillions on the planet, not to mention all the gold that's been stolen throughout history, you would have a little bit of pressure on you, I'm sure. But I don't think you would want to kill yourself. And so the story, if it's true that he did hang himself, likely it was done by someone else. Now, we may talk about that a little bit tonight. I'm looking for more information other than what the internet pundits are saying about it. But supposedly, the coroner that examined Mr. Rothschild said that he committed suicide. Well, he was hanging. How does he know that? Really, how does he know that? We need to ask those types of questions. And there are also rumors that the world currency is going to be based upon the Iraqi dinar. I don't know if you've heard that story. That's a pretty interesting story. And deeper than that, there is actually an entity here in the United States that is pulling the international financial strings, and it's likely the culprit behind all the missing gold, not just from Fort Knox, not just from under the World Trade Center on 9/11, but all the gold that's been stolen from this country at least since 1934. My two guests tonight are well-versed in international affairs and galactic affairs, for that matter. They both write essays published on my first guest's website, educate-yourself.org. And that gentleman's name is Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you very much. Glad to be with you again.
Yes, glad to have you here. And our second guest is an essayist, as I just mentioned, whose work is posted on Ken's website, Zora Nova Star Livingstone. ZS, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
Great to have you both here. Ken, had you heard anything about this Rothschild death?
Well, not the specific that you mentioned, but I was privy to some important information very recently that the upper echelons of players within the Illuminati, among the 13 bloodline families, might experience unexpected, let's say, losses, let's put it that way, and that it's part of a larger, let's say, thrust that has been undertaken for perhaps a year or more to change the balance of power between those who are trying to assist humanity to not only survive and thrive, but to perhaps rid ourselves of the parasites that dominate these groups that we identify as the Illuminati. So ZS might have more to say in this regard, but I had been led to believe that changes would essentially start at the top and trickle down towards the bottom. Let's put it that way. So it doesn't surprise me to hear that. I had been forewarned that such an eventual development may unfold, and perhaps we're seeing at least some public acknowledgement of that. There's been other indications that positive changes have taken place behind the scenes, in which the demonic underpinning that the Illuminati and the dark side is essentially depend on to pull off their dark plans has been substantially eroding beneath them. I alluded to this in a couple talks that we've done. I've mentioned it in a very broad, essentially vague way, but the demonic players are, let's say, losing ground big time. And this underpinning, which the Illuminati so depends, is crumbling beneath them. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they have been something in a quandary, in some cases in a panic, because they had assumed that whatever, let's say, changes take place would begin at the bottom and work towards the top. And it's totally taken them by complete surprise that the order of changes, we'll say, has occurred at the very top. And I do mean the very top. And yes, it's working downwards rather than the other way.
I'll probably have more to say about that next week, just on the basis of you know, my planned guests for this week. And we're in a new month next week, actually, later this week. But nonetheless, you're probably very correct in what you just said. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors games going on. And I can tell you that the significance that has been given to the importance of the Federal Reserve in the role they play in this fiat monetary system that we have. And it's no different from what the EU has established. In fact, theirs is eroding just as quickly because the greed and the corruption is so rampant that they didn't give it time to build any legitimacy like what we had here in the United States. But this was all by design. Now, in my estimation, and I'd like to get your and ZS comments in this regard, it appears to me that when you stage two wars to move into a country under the auspice of weapons of mass destruction, a country that had nothing to do with the false flag event of 9/11 in this country, and you stage two wars, murdering well over a million people and forcing millions more to flee the country, and then stage all of these phony photo ops and videos proclaiming that weapons of mass destruction were discovered and this international plot is unveiled that Saddam Hussein was trying to buy enriched uranium from Niger. Then you have to ask yourself, what is Niger doing making enriched uranium? You know, people don't ask those questions. It's just, oh, yeah, they were doing that. They were doing that. Nobody really pays attention. So these are all cover stories. There was a massive bank robbery of the central bank, not just in Baghdad, but the whole country. They used bioweapons. They used neutron bombs. They've been using depleted uranium in the weapons, in the bullets, and the missiles, and the rockets, and every avenue of every delivery system of a weapon has contained depleted uranium as a means of getting rid of what should be responsibly managed. And it relates to the nuclear power industry. So is it any surprise that we have these false flags going on in the nuclear power industry or in the oil industry, such as the Gulf of Mexico? And we've shown enough evidence to show that these are false flag events, that these all lead to Ponzi schemes. So the idea is to compromise the international financial community and compromise the exchange rates of the various currencies around the world. Now, I'll be talking about that in a future story, but then there's one more issue here, and that is the issue not just of fomenting a world war by systematically overtaking these countries and giving everyone the illusion that democracy is somehow thriving and that the people are waking up and they're not going to stand for the repression that they've endured for thousands of years in their regions and more recently in their countries. But the cover story, which was masked about Iraq, was this master vortex, this dimensional portal that Saddam Hussein had discovered and the technology to operate it. And so they have to maintain control over that. So you have the U.S. military going in there into Iraq, building at least 14 bases, at least. And they're building some other types of buildings which appear to possibly be related to the management of this new currency, this world currency that they're trying to create. So we're witnessing the rebirth of Babylon, basically. That's what I wanted to say. Ken, your comment, or ZS, if you'd like to jump in.
I'll give ZS a chance.
Okay. Talking about the Iraqi dinar becoming the fallback currency or the international currency, Iraq is a country of 25 million, maybe left. They had 30 million. There might be 25 million people left in that country. How could you base a world currency on a country so small? About as inconceivable as the Canadian dollar becoming the world currency, or one of going back to the Italian lira would be more stable than a dinar. And I know a couple of people have been taken for several hundred dollars on this scam, and I just told them right off from the very start, it was a scam, and it's going to be a pump and dump. The people who bail them or pull the money out first will get the money, and everybody else will get half paper, nice, pretty paper. they're sweating bullets.
Do you promise it's going to be pretty paper, and whose picture will be on it?
Saddam Hussein? Or Mel, whoever. It's just inconceivable that somebody, but they were so suckered in. They were the sales job to them, even though they're aware of all these intrigues that have been going on for years and years and years, and have read educateyourself.org and other places, other websites. They got pulled right in. The salesman must have been a real con man.
Yes. Can you adjust your mic just a little bit so we can get a little more volume?
Okay. I had it down by my chin.
Oh. Yeah. Do you have an opening on your chin?
No, not even a... No, I do not have an opening on my... Not oh. even a zit.
That's, pimple. That's why you're coming through clearly now.
Okay.
Just a friendly reminder.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I know of some people who are actually investing in these dinar. Now, they've made statements that... dinar are selling for on a par value of 1 cent a piece, and they're going to flip over to something in the neighborhood of $333.50 when they pull this off, and then afterwards it's going to be probably chopped down to something in the neighborhood of $3 and some change. So it sounds like another Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, it's a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, that's my take on it. But yeah. You know, this announcement came out a few months ago, and of course you don't hear about it in the mainstream. They're not going to talk about it. But the groundswell of chatter has increased now.
Yeah, these two people wanted, who invested their money into the dinar, wanted to be in there with the big boys, the big financial people who have already claimed a big chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're going to make sure that they're the ones who get it or get the value on the Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. There's no doubt, though, that they're is a push, a move to reestablish this kingdom of Babylon, this ancient kingdom, which is nothing but pure evil. And such a Ponzi scheme reflects that as much as it does if they were to create a new world currency. But some of the people involved in this swear by this, that that's going to be the norm. Now, contrary to that, we have reports that Russia and China are agreeing to deal with one another strictly with rubles and yuan. So that sort of doesn't make sense. If there's a move, and there's a rumor out that there's going to be some kind of a move as early as June 30th, that the dollar is going to take a big loss, a big crash financially, and people, especially those with investment capital, are going to lose their shirts and probably their pants.
It's a very strange situation right now where the Canadian dollar is more than American dollar. It's rarely that way. Sometimes in years past, we were like 62 to 63 cents to American dollar, and now at $1.03 or $1.04 to the American dollar is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Ken, your comments?
Yes. Well, I'd like to say that regardless of what plans the Illuminati have, and we've known for a long time that it was part of their control plan to devalue the U.S. dollar, to undermine its role as the leading stabilizing currency of the world. It's not an accident. It was done intentionally, because anyone who is aware of the New World Order Agenda 101 knows and understands, and I explained this in the overview that's still posted on my website that I originally wrote in 1996, is that the goal is to destroy the United States. That is the linchpin of the New World Order domination of the world, is to destroy the United States, and as a cohesive body of politic. This is the reason why the unrelenting influx of illegal aliens over the southern border, for instance, has been allowed to mushroom as badly as it is. So that now we have, who knows, 20 or 30 million illegal aliens from south of the border who have now ensconced themselves in the country. It's part of breaking up the cohesiveness of the American community, if you will. It's and number two, obviously, they want to break us financially and ultimately destroy our military, so that the U.S. military no longer represents this power structure that is there to defend the cause of freedom and liberty. Of course, that's the words that the Pentagon continues to use as we invade innocent countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, following, as you say, the inside job, the false flag staging event that took place on September 11, 2001. And so all these things we're referring to, the undermining of the U.S. currency, the devaluation, the probably further devaluation of the dollar that will lead to greater inflation, and the sort of woes that were generated in the Great Depression of 1930, et cetera, that will probably move forward. However, it is my opinion that the net effect will not be nearly as devastating as they hope it to be, for the reason that I briefly touched on last week, and I perhaps if I can continue a bit on that theme this week, is that first, if people understand that they're being manipulated, knowledge is the key here. No matter what they do, if you understand that you're watching players on a stage and you're standing behind the backdrop, and you could see the puppeteers, you know, with the strings, and you can see the Obama puppets and the Clinton puppets and the Bush puppets dancing around the stage, and you see the battles. But you understand it's all staged and orchestrated. So that if you're in that position, if you can view the play, as it were, from backstage, no matter what false scenarios they present on stage, you, the knowledgeable viewer, is not necessarily going to be a victim of those acts, scenes, et cetera, because you have greater knowledge than what you're supposed to have, I suppose, or what they, you know, they were hoping you would never catch on to. And frankly, the world, thanks to the internet, is largely catching on to all the machinations of these very powerful players. Now, the whole topic of mind control, trauma-based mind control that developed with the Nazis beginning in World War II, is no longer a mystery. Even people who have internet access in the most remote areas of Africa or the Middle East now are aware of MKUltra and these Project Monarchs. And now we're also... A large segment of the world is aware of electronic mind control capabilities. We all know, we're all familiar now with this subject broadly known as psychotronics, which is the application of mind control signals electronically. Thousands, probably tens of thousands of people, perhaps more, are being electronically brutalized, if you will, and harassed and tortured with these technologies. So the internet is filled with these accounts. And so many of the things that they assumed we would not know about, we found out thanks to Serge Bonas in the, you know, by the mid-1990s or so, we found out the whole game plan of Project Bluebeam. And that, so all these attempts at using these technologies, using these phony tales in the news about the ancient discovery of manuscripts reveal yada yada yada. If it's a word for word description of what's what we learned from Project Bluebeam, who's going to buy it? Who's going to believe it? Who's going to believe the holograms in the sky? Whether we see, you know, a mile high a vision of Jesus or Buddha or whoever they decide to put up there, or we see fleets of hologram UFOs passing over Washington or New York. Who's going to really buy it today? Very few people. Very few people.
We have NASA still trying to brainwash kids in school, telling them that there's no intelligent life beyond the Earth, but they're looking for it. Yeah. Now, where do you suppose all the videos and films and photographs and first-hand accounts of alien visitation. And I'm speaking about people from other parts of the universe coming here to the Earth. I'm not talking about the invasion of the southwestern borders of the United States. Or, for that matter, the whole country via the airlines. But how do you suppose all of that is manifesting itself, and that they can continue to get away with this simple lie? That they're looking, that they think there might be something. All the while, again, pretending that planets are on the way here to destroy the Earth. They've singled out the Earth, and they're on the way here, and comets and asteroids and meteorites and anything else they want to dream up. So what you're saying is true, but it's at the lowest level of intelligence that they're delivering this message. Presuming that they just keep repeating and everyone's...
Yes, that's true. But first, the ones who are involved in working for the dark side, you know, whether it's somebody who's, you know, working for FEMA, or whether someone worked for the Department of Homeland Security, or any of these other unconstitutional, if you will, fascist-type agencies that are really intended to... you know, speed along the enslavement of our country. And
About the administration, too.
Well, you can talk about the entire administration. We can talk about the bulk of Congress, who, as I mentioned last week, are clearly not working in the interest of the citizens. However, that being said, I still need to emphasize this fact that there's something called the law of attraction. It's always in play. It is always in play. And thank God that it is, because based on what we think and based on what we understand, we as individuals will attract to us into our lives the remedies, if you will, that will deliver us from all these apparent difficulties. So it's just an illusion.
Yeah, I agree.
The players only have this script that they decided on, you know, in some cases a few centuries ago, in other cases some decades ago, on how the play, you know, is going to unfold to supposedly snooker the bulk of us dummy going. You know, that's their thinking. So since all these things have been put in motion, consider the billions of dollars. Billions, probably trillions of dollars, spent in so many avenues to fulfill this this play. You know, think of all the money spent on these underground cities and bases that they, the elites and their minions and their little gophers, assume that they're all going to be able to scurry to when, you know, the things that they had hoped to pull off on the surface here. You know, massive earthquakes and floods and hydrogen and bomb explosions. You know, the whole nuclear winter thing that they had so long assumed they could pull off. Nothing's working for them. Even their heaviest stuff to try to, including the assistance they were getting from their dark alien friends far removed from this planet. Nothing they could throw at Japan on March 11th. Delivered the sort of bang that they were hoping to get, because there are too many light forces standing in the way, neutralizing and neutering and diffusing their efforts.
Yeah.
And therefore, the announcement you made earlier about the Rothschild, who sadly passed to the other side, doesn't surprise me, because I'm well aware that the light and all those who are working on behalf of the light are gaining ground exponentially.
Yes.
And as a result, this shift will come towards the positive, whether the Illuminati and their dark alien pals, overlords, like it or not. If you remember, Yogananda, for instance, wrote some wonderful books. And in it, one of his books, he mentioned his teacher in India, a guy named Sri Yukteswar, who in turn wrote a book around 1898. It's a very small book. But it had used the word science mm-hmm. in the title. And what he explains is what all Hindu scholars are aware of. It's something called these very long cycles of life. They're called yugas, you know, and they have different names.
Yes.
Anyway, if my memory serves me correctly, one yuga cycle is about 26,000 years. And again, I read that book many years ago, but about half of the cycle, approximately 13,000 years or so, humanity goes through an ever darkening, let's say, devolvement, in which, you know, the repressive forces, the destructive forces gradually dominate more and more until you hit, let's say, a climax of extreme darkness. And then gradually there's a climb as the cycle proceeds, because it is a circular cycle. As the dark agenda recedes, you get into a period in which you're about 13,000 years of ever increasing growth, let's say, and the growth of the light, and, you know, so anyway, this dark cycle has really ended for the this dark half, if you will, of the yuga cycle actually had ended for the earth quite some time ago, and we're approaching ever more into greater light on the positive half of the cycle. This mm-hmm. cannot be stopped, no matter what the Illuminati wants to do. And it appears that Earth is not only going into the positive cycle, but we will now experience a growth in our dimensional body, let's say. So,
and perceptions.
Yeah, we expect that this solar system and most of the inhabitants are going to gradually move into a higher dimension in which things will be easier, things will be freer. We know, and again, Zias is more of an authority on this than I am, but we know that as we move into a higher dimension, we still retain a physical body. We still live on a physical type Earth, but it's a different sort of planetary experience in which, as I mentioned, everything is freer and there's less of the military stuff. There's less of the parasitic stuff. There's less of the using, the abuse, et cetera, of others. And there's more of caring, you know, and sharing.
I'd like to comment on something you said here before I lose my train of thought. Mm-hmm. This cusp you're talking about in the end of the yuga, the cycle, is also referred to in the OASPE Bible and many other deep writings about spirituality and consciousness. They all reflect this and in a unique way. It's not a parroting of the same message. It's an understanding that this happens. And one would have to say that this happens to the solar system. It happens to the galaxy. And it may be an event that's constantly progressing throughout the whole of the universe. The universe isn't just sitting still, it's moving. And you notice right now how hard the dark side is fighting, that there are beings of light, and I don't mean the satanic light, who have come to undo this false light, this illusory light, known on this planet as Satanism, and all the other conjectures. I see the one country, and this is not an ethnic statement I'm making, but the political country of Israel is establishing the legal and the religious precepts as one concept. Yet here in this country, where we proclaim in our Constitution to have separation of church and state, we are being forced to annihilate religion or annihilate a faith in a creator, not a destroyer, a creator, you see. So the very people that claim that their rights are always being trampled on, that they were the sole victims of World War II, which is not true, because it was the Khazarian bankers who are the wannabes pretending to be of that ethnicity, have done this throughout history, you see. And more recently, and that's being undone. I agree with what you say. That's being undone. And the only thing they can do to hang on to what they have now is put out the message, the propaganda, that it's worse. It's worse, that our rights are fewer, you see. And they do it in a very clever way, in an alarmist way, to make it appear that people who write on blogs are revealing how through their vocation they're recognizing that the financial system is collapsing. It never was since 1913 what it's been represented to be. Never has been. And they've gotten away with the criminality for so long, they're just mushrooming it. Who's pulling the strings, you see? Who's pulling those strings to cause that to happen? Who would want to do that to themselves, you see? What nation would do that to themselves? And the nation that portrays itself to always be a victim has made there is no separation between, if you want to use the word, church and state, like we use it here in America. I could go on and on. That would be rude of me to do that, but I'm trying to make this point that what we're experiencing is engineered to take control by giving us the illusion that an illusory financial system is going to collapse, as if it really has some value, when it was nothing but an illusion from the get-go. So where's the power? Where's the real power, you see? This is all a mind game, really. Z.S., I hear you laughing in the background. I'll stop there. I think you get the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. Right now, the most of 90% of the stocks are being held by the same people who are pumping the system. They've made the stock market into a Ponzi scheme in itself, taking the bailout money and buying up corporations or buying stakes into it. And if that goes belly up, they're the ones holding 90% of the value. Mm-hmm. And at the street level, people are going to be saying, okay, that's the stock market. I'm going to go to work today. I'm going to do something. I'm going to make money for my kids. And that's real. That is the real economy. People going about their daily lives in they've been trying to grind that down for decades now, or 100 years since 1913. Mm-hmm. But the pushing forward of the American economy at the grassroots level has huge, huge, huge momentum. They've been throwing roadblocks in front of it, and roadblocks, and it keeps on pushing on. And that is the spiritual essence of the people of America moving through the blocks and creating the real substance, the real value of the dollar. It's that need for life and expression, the pursuit of happiness, whatever you want to call it, this pursuit of truth, is the real economy. Like on credit cards, what is considered the real money is the payments that the people make on the credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
The actual value of the debt is not considered real.
But it's still an illusion.
It's an illusion.
Even that payment is an illusion.
But the person working by the sweat of their brow or whatever way they did it is more real than everything else.
That's the key. You see, they get something produced.
Yes.
For nothing. Really?
Yeah.
For nothing.
And they're grabbing land, grabbing resources, grabbing whatever you can.
Yeah. That system, that very system that is supposed to give us something, you see, is actually designed to take it away.
Yeah. The real value is at the family level.
Yes. Yes. And then that's why they're attacking the family as well. Okay. That's why they're abducting the children, making false charges that parents aren't properly educating their kids, when that's a farce right there.
Yeah.
I mean, they lose that argument from the get-go.
Right.
All they can produce is a dumbed-down populace. So anyway, I just want to make that comment.
Another thought which occurred to me when you're talking about the WASPE Bible and the separation of church and state, the WASPE, in the last pages of the WASPE, it's, there's a, it goes into great depth on the father of the Great White Father, as the natives call him, George Washington. There's pages and pages and pages on the spiritual power of George Washington. He prayed every day. He prayed. He didn't believe in the separation of church and state. He lived that America was a spiritual place.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the stories that is in the WASPE is, and it was also historically documented in other places, is that in the French and Indian Wars, where the Iroquois and Hurons were being hired by the French, you know, during the Seven Years' War of 1756 to 1763 to attack the United States, Washington was a soldier in the British Army and rose up in the ranks and made many attacks against the Iroquois and Hurons to secure the northern territories of the United States, 13 colonies. And there's, after the, that George Washington became president, some of those same Iroquois and Hurons wanted to go see the Great White Father in Washington, D.C., because they knew he was something special. Because they said to him, "I had a rifle pointed directly at your chest. I pulled. I know the bullet went through you. Why aren't you dead?" And there's a red vest somewhere in the archives with a hole in the front and a hole in the back. And there's, and actually that red vest has many holes going through.
Mm-hmm.
There's spiritual power in the founding father, George Washington. And that's one of the great stories in the WASPE. And, of course, the WASPE, which was brought through in the 1830s, 1850s in Montrose, Colorado, tells of the ascension of all the root races since the creation of the planet. It's an incredible story to read.
Mm-hmm. This concept of ascension, and I want to go back to this and get a comment from Ken, if that's all right with you, ZS.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This idea of moving into a higher dimension, people think that somehow that means we're going from point A to point B. Okay? And that's not really what's happening. It's not a linear process. It's more an expansive process because the fifth dimension is already where it exists. Okay. Our ability to perceive it is the issue. There are many who can't perceive three dimensions all that well on this planet right now. So they're in a quandary as far as that goes. But the idea of, let's say, moving is the fifth dimension actually has its own space. This is an anomaly.
And it has its own substance.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So are we to reach the fifth dimension? Because I feel that there are some people on this planet already that have.
Yeah.
It's not something that's yet to occur. I think it's always been the case, but not in large numbers necessarily. See,
you want Ken to comment first?
Yeah, Ken, if you would.
Okay. Well, just briefly, it seems to me the easiest way to explain the analogy of dimensional changes is to think of the reality that you exist in as a frequency band.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's used to the terminology used in radio knows that, for instance, shortwave radio has different clusters of frequencies that they refer to as bands. Mm-hmm. And it's an easy analogy for the mind to, you know, grasp. So yeah. I think it's useful to explain it this way. When the planet, all objects that we perceive in the planet, as well as our own bodies, are vibrating. Everything is vibrating at a certain speed, and we refer to the speed of vibration as, quote, the frequency. And I believe when we move into another frequency band, I don't expect or to see or feel anything that tells us, oh, you've just entered the fourth dimension, or, oh, no, I don't believe that's the way it's going to happen. Exactly. It's going to be gradual, in which the bulk of people will not be aware of the fact that they're moving into a higher dimension, because everything will seem pretty much the same all around them.
Yeah, so they'll be oblivious to the fact that it's deep.
In that sense, yes. In terms of physical appearances, I don't think we'll see much change. However, though, as Zias pointed out in an essay he did a couple years ago, perhaps, we are starting to see in our dimension changes in what is considered the normal range of observations in a physical sense. For instance, Zias pointed out that rainbows that are seen after rainstorm, etc., have an additional color band in it that they didn't contain but a few years ago. And I think this is an indicator, and Zias can clarify that, an indicator that we're moving. It's a gradual upgrade into another dimension. Nothing will happen suddenly. Yeah.
The Earth is going through that too.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, Zias, you can add to that.
Well, there's many photographs taken of rainbows, and the color bands are shifted. In one famous situation, where a woman named Carol, who's had this experience since 1987, takes pictures in a heightened state of awareness. The picture of the rainbow, in the green band, there's a broad band of pink, and it's right there on the photographic emulsions from that time period, or the pixel in the pixels, anyways. And mm-hmm. The colors are showing right there. And also, if you look at a regular rainbow now, when you look at, say, a really, really bright rainbow, it's red on the outside and violet on the inside. If you keep looking past the violet, you'll see faint traces of bands which would be in the ultraviolet band, like three or four little skinny bands in the purples and blues, in a place where you'd expect your eyes don't work. In the ultraviolet, yet there, if you just look very, very closely at a rainbow, and you'll see into the ultraviolet, and that is mind blowing. Never 25, 30 years ago, it wasn't happening. It's been happening in the last 25 years,
mm-hmm.
and it depends on the person's state of consciousness when they're working with the camera or looking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a meditative state.
Yeah. It's not just rainbows, if I can say. I shared this story on a past show. I think, Ken, you may have been on that show with me, where I talked about seeing a line in front of a jet that was spraying chemtrails. And it was a sort of a black line that followed the contour of the path the plane was about to follow. And I could see that, and two other people who were with me said they didn't see it at all. And it would make you think you were hallucinating to realize that you saw it and other people are not seeing it. But how often have you pointed to the sky and said, see that bird up there or that plane up there or that strange anomaly up there, and people don't see anything, you know? Right. So it is related to consciousness as well.
Right.
Now, that also implies that there are many other things, not just rainbows, but many other things in our daily lives that are occurring that we're not even aware of.
Right. from a quantum level, that shift in colors in the rainbow is an indication of the whole shift in the structural action of the atom, and all implying also that the speed of light has changed.
And that would have been
accelerated.
I was going to say would have increased.
Increased, yeah. So in this, there's probably been all sorts of anomalies in interferometry, reading the speed of light. And if you have a police officer pointing at you with a laser, you make sure that you're not shifting into a lower density.
In a sense, for someone who's listening to all this, wondering where this is going, if we become aware of these things, then we're less likely to do things that are going to involve us in our own self-annihilation as a species, and yes. and avoiding the destruction of the planet. Okay,
right.
In essence, that's what we should. I mean, that's why we do what we do.
To
reveal what's going on. Okay,
right.
that is the light, regardless of what some would like to say.
Right.
About
that. Exactly. That was the point of essentially reviewing the sort of ideas that we presented in the show we did last week, is that the law of attraction is always at work. And I had mentioned that last week in talking about if you spend too much time focusing on news items that are depressing in their content, and it's doom and gloom, and we particularly emphasize how the radiation psyops has now become the new, let's say, global warming scam. You know, if you remember when Al Gore sort of kicked off the global warming psyops around 2007, I think it was, between 2006-2007. I put up articles right away, really, to an answer to an email I had received from somebody inquiring about it. And I said that then that it was a psyops and that there's no truth to it. And despite the fact that now a large number of, let's say, mainstream people, the people who are not aware of the contents of a website such as mine, you know, who probably never use the term New World Order, because I've seen so many articles in mainstream newspapers. Right here in California, we have a newspaper called the Orange County Register, and while I don't subscribe to it, from time to time, I'll pick up a copy of it, you know, at different locations. And I was surprised, this was going back easily 2 years ago, to see this article by this staff writer, Orange County Register, poo-pooing the whole global warming story. And I said, holy mackerel. I mean, it was really very refreshing and uplifting to see that even mainstream newspaper types are debunking the global warming. Well, they've invested, the Illuminati has invested so much effort in the economic, you know, game plan that is coupled with the global warming psyops, namely, you know, the cap and trade nonsense and all the money they plan on making from it. They're just not going to give it up, even though growing legions of people around the world are now realizing it. The whole thing is, they just don't give up. So I continue to hear Amy Goodman, who in many cases reports very good stories, but she's also a tool of the, let's say, propagandists of the left side of the aisle for the Illuminati. And she continues, even at this late date, to continue to pump the global warming story as if it's real. She's even clinging to the peak oil story, although she doesn't mention it much today, but when it does come up, because she wrote a book about it with her brother. So she continues. And then this morning I heard her, she's now in the front ranks, running with the Japan radiation psyop story. This is now going to be a story that's breaking news, you know. And it's just such a pain in the neck to listen to this to the PSYOPs being embraced. And it just takes a long time, decades perhaps, for the Illuminati to finally give up, realizing no one's buying it, and just drop it. And yeah.
Let me share something very brief with you.
Yeah.
The people, you know, these are all black ops deeds, okay? These are, or programs, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. And the entity that controls the funding of those black ops programs is used as an ace up the sleeve to control the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Treasury by default, because of who's involved in this second agency, the secret agency, and Congress's fear of what might happen to them if they don't comply. Okay? So this is known in Congress. They know about this. So they're all guilty of committing treason. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Last week when I talked about the Congress, I'm sorry, did you finish your thought there?
Well, basically, I was just saying this is funded. Everything that's going on, all these black ops are funded out mm-hmm. of this agency. Mm-hmm. And the agency has held the rest of the world's currencies to ransom. As
yeah.
a result. Okay.
Yeah, so, I understand. I know you're going to reveal more down the road. You have got a really hot story there, to put it mildly. But, you know, Don, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter whether they break the U.S. dollar and they attempt, and again, I'm using the word attempt to pull or demoralize the American public with the notion that, oh, my God, it's going to be worse than the Great Depression, because they're going to inflate the dollar and they're going to elevate the Chinese currency or, you know, first, my guess is China, despite all the efforts of the Illuminati to replace replace the United States with China in every way, they've been seeing to it, you know, that all of our technology has been transferred, a great deal, I should say, not all of it. A great deal of our technology has been covertly transferred to China so they can build up the country. But, you know, frankly, and I have deepest respect for the Chinese as a culture and race. They're as intelligent as any other group of people on the earth, and they have their mix of good people and greedy people, as we do in the West. Okay, so it has nothing to do with the culture per se. But frankly, the Chinese do not have this recent history, if you will. When I say recent history, you know, the last few hundred years of mm-hmm. being a highly developed country. And as a result, as much as the Illuminati wants to give the appearance by staging the Olympics there, and they just recently had a big flashy announcement of a bullet train that runs from Shanghai to somewhere, I don't know. And I remember hearing on my favorite propaganda station, NPR, the Chinese people they're interviewing about the technology, the spokesmen are pretending as if China was completely behind the development of the technology of this high-speed train and everything. Well, the fact of the matter is that Japan is the technology leader in high-speed bullet trains, and Japan really supplied them with all the technology they did not possess and supplied them with all the equipment and even the manufactured the trains and the hardware, et cetera, that they needed to put it together. So they didn't really develop squat. They bought it. They purchased it, okay? But they're saying to the world, oh, because now China, we're going to become the leading nation of the world. Watch how we expand and in all directions. And now the Chinese shoppers are spreading out to Tokyo and to New York, and they're bringing all their money with them. And suddenly the Chinese are going to sort of have the influence on the world that, let's say, the Americans had immediately following World War II. You know, we had all the power, we had all the money, so naturally, people in Europe, for instance, were sort of putting up with bad manners of American tourists because they needed the money so badly. So in a way, they're trying to convince us that China is going to replace America. I got news for them. China is not going to replace America in terms of, because we have American people, as badly as we've been injured and decimated by the Illuminati to destroy us, still have an edge. We have a couple hundred year history of, let's say, being on top of the anthill. And I don't say that in a chauvinistic way. I mean that in a way is that we are accustomed to the notion of individual freedom, which the Chinese public is not accustomed to. And they don't even have it today. I mean, the last people, if you're going to have this great explosion of development, the last people I would want to put in charge of that is the Chinese Communist Party, because it is the very epitome of corruption, greed, low-level Neanderthal thinking. It's the Chinese Communist government and all those stooges that they put up representing these people. So you don't get the level of, let's say, care and manufacture from Chinese companies that you do from American companies. And because of that, their products and their techniques, et cetera, need to go through a long burnishing period. This doesn't happen, Don, in 10 or 15 years. Let's try 100 or 200 years.
Yeah, but we're living in a fast food world today, you see?
Yes, well, if that's what we were considering was fast food, then maybe you can get away with it. But we're talking about technology of the highest order. And the United States, despite all the efforts of the Illuminati to destroy this country and the integrity of the people of this country and our economic might, our can-do know-how, et cetera, despite all their efforts to rob us blind, I do not think for a second that China is going to suddenly lurch into the number one position and we're just going to fade away into history as this third world has been no longer potent, you know, sort of ruin of a Roman Empire type of skeleton, which they're planning on. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, it's still going to require that people on some level wake up.
Well, yeah, that's why we're talking, and that's why I'm mentioning the fact that last week that it's a mistake to spend too much time on doom and gloom stories and to remember this thing called the law of attraction is in play at all times. If you process your thoughts in a way in which you're trying to move towards productive ends, you will attract to yourself the necessary people, the necessary conditions, and the necessary remedies that will deliver you to your goal of producing or achieving what you wish to achieve. And the more people ascribe to that understanding, the faster the illuminated house of cards will crumble and the true foundation of the American public, which is the heart of the American people, the goodwill of the American people, the honest intentions of the American people to be helpful, to be brotherly, to be productive, to conquer disease, all the things that kind of marked the character of the American personality since the American Revolution, at least up to World War II, will, I believe, is in the genes of us Americans. I believe it's in our genes, and that we will surmount these difficulties by simply using our brains, using our cunning, using our discernment to maneuver around whatever roadblock they want to throw in it. It doesn't matter if they eviscerate the U.S. dollar, because as Zia says, the real energy that money represents is the labor of people. It's people's labor, and you are not required to subserve your labor to another's dark agenda. You are not required to cooperate with their intentions to enslave you, because as long as people have the capacity to produce anything, just our inner ingenuity gives us the capacity to make anything we want, to build anything we want. And we can come up with any sort of representative script we wish for money. They're already doing this in a number of communities in the United States, but also in other parts of the world. They simply, the local community, decide that this piece of paper with this symbols on it and these numbers represents so much value to you and I. And therefore, instead of me bartering for everything, you know, with solid objects, you know, a bowl of seed for, you know, for a roll of cloth, we both mutually decided that this money, script, we can call it, will represent this to us. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if they undermine the U.S. People will always have an alternative methodology. And if it's necessary, we'll just go to good old-fashioned bartering. It still works. Mm-hmm. So as long as we think that way and know that we have the ultimate power in our hands, that all these con artists up at the top of the illuminated, you know, hierarchical tree, you know, the Goldman Sachs types and the Rothschild bankers and all these guys who think they can manipulate and control billions of people below them, once they realize you don't give a hooey about what they scam, what they run, what they call a currency, we will be able to survive and thrive without you, without your stupid Federal Reserve notes. You know, it's not necessary. And once you know that, and everyone else in the world is aware of that, they've lost all their power. Power is a matter of perception.
Yeah, a higher consciousness and a planet living and existing in a higher level of consciousness, in a higher dimension, will automatically understand that there is no need for political systems to be a part of a process to achieve government. Government should be intrinsically representative of the will of the people, period. Who else is there other than the people? Now, when a country can live that way within itself, it can get along with other countries. And you don't have to establish a new world order to do that. You just allow what is natural in the universe to occur, you see? But they have to create this false reality, a duality. And dualities do exist. But the whole point of moving upward in consciousness is making the correct choices, making the choices that will benefit not just you, but the all, because we are all part of this universal all. ZS, I hear you in the background wanting to say something.
My thoughts are noisy. As the substance rises, as we rise in frequency, things become closer together. The mm-hmm. oneness can be seen and felt.
More focused.
In the fourth and fifth dimension, there are no enemies. You're just other aspects of yourself. You're just another you, or a friend is another you who you haven't met for a long time. And going back to the Kali Yuga, or the Yuga cycle, that is a heartbeat, one heartbeat, 26,000 years or however long it is. And it's in the compression of the heart, it squeezes all the substance down and it goes into a greater density. And as the heart releases, then it returns back to the substance. So a Kali Yuga is a natural process of vortexian heartbeat. And we're coming out of it. We went into the deepest compression. We experienced with the deepest compression. Maybe we hit the lowest phases of density in the third dimension, maybe even the top end of the second dimension, at the bottom of the deepest, darkest part of it. But as we come out of that compression, then we can see what is around us. We can feel what's around us. We can feel the unity. We can feel that there's only friendship. There is no enemies.
Because we have expanded into those other dimensions.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is.
I believe we're on the seventh step of the third dimension. We're just one notch, one quantum leap into the fourth dimension. The veil is very thin right now. I attended two sweat lodges on Saturday and Sunday, and talk about high technology. A sweat lodge, it was a Lakota sweat lodge that was done in BC here, is a very, very high technology in relationship to consciousness and the opening up the senses in order to see into the next dimension and feel what energy is.
Mm-hmm. Is this a device that induces that state of consciousness? Or
Yeah. You're seeing all sorts of phenomena in the very dark room at high temp. I was actually the fire keeper. I was bringing in the 500 degree rocks into the sweat lodge.
Wow.
Trained by a Cree Indian who learned the Lakota ways. And the whole action of the dimension, everything is becoming lighter and lighter and lighter. And they say it's sweat lodge and this peace pipe and the Sundance was given to the Plains Indians or Lakota, Dakota people 17, 18 generations ago, maybe 19 generations. I don't know the story on that. And I believe that held the action of freedom, which created the seed of freedom for the Constitution. And it's written up that part of some of the words that are used in government and the Constitution are actually Iroquois words. And I could actually see these sweat lodges breaking through the barriers or Uwipi ceremonies or Sundance ceremonies, which were outlawed for 100 years. Were actually very, very powerful acts of the consciousness where the native people of this land kept the spirit of freedom going because freedom is a spiritual thing. And they were working with powerful medicine. And they were actually the ones who were fighting the black magicians tooth and nail for centuries. Protecting the United States since 1492 is a...
Mm-hmm.
Picture is a bumper sticker in the Navajo Nation, or a T-shirt showing some Navajos or Apaches from about 100 years ago, each with a Winchester rifle pointing in the air.
We know so little about the history of some of these groups, not just the Indians, you know. I came across something recently where they've been tracing a particular family line back as far as they can go. And we'll say this is a Scottish family, and they're related to Eskimos near or in Alaska and northern Canada.
Yes.
That go back 30,000 years.
Right.
And have you heard that before?
Yes, there's north of here, about 5 hours in Prince George, is a tribe called the Carrier Tribe. And people studied the language and found out there is so many Gaelic terms that they are essentially a Gaelic language.
Hmm.
So it's morphed in with actions.
Mm-hmm.
And even stranger, across the mountain range to the very tip of the Alaska Panhandle, is the Ainish people of the Nass Valley, and they're Okinawans. You can drop an Ainish person in downtown Tokyo, and with their native language, they can get around. They can communicate with the Japanese or with the Okinawans down in Okinawa.
Would that have been related to the continent of Pan?
It could be, but from linguistically, it looks like they came over before Columbus, 1300s, 1400s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I find it interesting that Japan basically is the remnant of the people of the continent of Pan, and yes, some of them could have traveled east.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the
Kon-Tiki thing was with Thor Heyerdahl, showing the Polynesians going to, or the people from South America going into Polynesia, following the currents. But you could either go further south and take a current back to South America from the land which was Pan.
I'm fairly certain that what you just described would have been at one time Lemuria.
Lemuria, yes.
Yes.
Pan's a little bit further north, right?
Mm-hmm. And then way up north, all the way up to Alaska, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've found evidence of that. So Ken knows what I'm talking about. Ken, you've been so quiet in the background.
It's wonderful to hear both what you and Zias have to say. So I always enjoy listening as much as I enjoy saying my piece.
You see, these truths show us how we've been lied to about our history, you see?
Yeah.
That the two of us would both be aware and get that kind of detail from PSL, you know?
Synchronicity always flows in these conversations.
But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, I was just going to add just a quick footnote to what you were just talking about. I forget where I read it, but it was a source. It might have been from IATA. I mentioned a channeled individual in last week's talk by the name of Iyada Dishite. It might have been him, or it might have been another source, but it was some source that I had faith in, and they had mentioned it, because I just read this recently, and again, it might have been Iyada, that the North American Indian tribes, traditionally, when the genesis of those tribes are discussed, they usually say that people had migrated from Mongolia over a now no longer existent land bridge, if you will, to, let's say, the area of Alaska, for instance, and then came south and came into the into the area we call North America. But this source had indicated, in fact, North American native, you know, we call them Indian groups, but North American natives, in fact, were remnants of Atlanteans and Lemurians, and they in turn were, you know, the Egyptians and the Atlanteans were much of the same stock. You know, the final sinking, if you will, of Atlantis, had sort of, let's say, the rise of the Egyptian Empire had sort of followed in the wake of the destruction of Atlantis, and that this source flatly stated that North American native populations did not come from Mongolia. They were, in fact, the remnants of the Atlanteans and Lemurians. That makes sense, since considering how far, particularly Atlantis, extended from, you know, from the area of the Canary Islands all the way through the central section of the Atlantic Ocean to the area of Bermuda and Yucatan and so forth. So it seems to me that's probably a more likely rootstock, if you will, of those people, mm-hmm, rather than having traveled from Mongolia. As you mentioned as well, Don, with the Oashpe, I think the original number of so-called root races seeded to Earth were either 6 or 7, and that there was one race, I think the Oashpe mentioned, known as the Blue People, had died out. They were a blue-skinned or blue-tinged skin,
mm-hmm,
race, but for some reason they couldn't survive. But, you know, the races that currently exist on Earth, you know, had begun actually with very discrete extraterrestrial groups. I'm sorry to say that most humans were seeded onto this planet God knows how many, you know, millions or perhaps
we had to get here somehow. You know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would have us believe that we came from tadpoles, you know.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly.
And in a way we have, but not the typical ones.
Yeah, the typical representation, Darwinian, it has validity in some areas. It's true. There is this natural selection force at work. But the fact of the matter is humans are an aggregate of different species. Otherwise, we wouldn't have three separate sections to our brains.
My American heterosexual flag actually tells the whole story.
Yes, it does. And it tells it very well with wonderful symbolism.
And if you haven't seen that, folks, go to directlightproductions.com. Click on news and then click on the American heterosexual flag.
Yeah.
we deserve one too. Well, gentlemen, it's been fascinating, but we're out of time. I want to give each of you just a minute to sort of wrap up anything you'd like to say about what we discussed tonight. I know we didn't plan any of this, and it was interesting to get away from the usual muck that we have to talk about.
Yeah, right. That's why I did want to continue on this theme that I sort of started last week. Yes, exactly. You don't allow yourself to be overly burdened by negative news. We allow that to happen because the news channels are just filled with reports of a negative nature. So don't allow it to get to you, because that's the purpose of delivering negative news, is to make you depressed, forlorn, hopeless, et cetera, et cetera. I had thought that maybe I could present some very exciting information on therapeutic information. I'll save it for the next thought. But I have a lot of things that I'm anxious to reveal about how people can absolutely do marvelous things in the comfort of their home to resolve all sorts of health concerns and health conditions with ordinary things that are just lying around the house. Knowledge is the key to power, and I have some fabulous knowledge that had been presented really many decades ago via a wonderful group known as the Borderlands Research Foundation, and I inherited a very large library of their material, and I'm very anxious to tell you about magnificent things that were discovered and discussed in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s at Borderlands. So I have a lot of really wonderful things to tell you about, but we'll save it for the next time we talk.
Okay. ZS, any closing comment you'd like to make?
I'm going to mention a WASPE again. A WASPE means Earth, Wind, and Sky. Earth, Wind, and Sky in a native language of Colorado. I'm not sure which tribe. The information possibly came through a medicine man. And it's there's a whole bunch of Christian terminology in there, so it looks like it was somehow an amalgamation of native and Christian terminology together. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting fusion, and it's very inspiring to read.
Yeah, it reveals many things that seem to contradict the history we've learned, yet when we study our own history, we find out that it actually is pretty accurate, especially where we have these concepts of the Kali Yuga and cycles occurring. Everything, you know, what are cycles? They're frequencies. You know, everything is frequency-based in the universe. Can't escape it. So, were you finished, ZS?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, we're out of time, gentlemen. I appreciate your contribution to the show tonight. And to encapsulate what we talked about, we're showing you things that are transpiring that are being kept secret from you, somehow that it will lead us to understand what is truly going on in the world. And by knowing what is going on, we will become empowered. We will aid ourselves. We will be those saviors that we're looking for, so to speak. So if you're interested in understanding the truth about what's going on around the world, instead of being afraid of it, the knowledge should empower you. And the liberation you seek, the freedom you seek, comes from being able to exercise that consciousness and make it be part of your reality. We have the right to create our realities, and we can co-create with others, and by doing so, we automatically bring about peace. There is no reason for war. There's no reason for politics, and there are no then reasons for monopolies that are designed to just control everyone. You are the solution to your problems, and mutually we are all the solution to our problems. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to remind the listening audience to check out Ken's website, educate-yourself.org, and you can read up on his writings as well as the essays of Zora Nova Star Livingstone. Gentlemen, thank you for being on the show, and I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's guests, Ken Adachi and Zora Nova Star Livingstone. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at BBS Radio. We had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night for Wellness Wednesday and my special guest, Dr. Wayne Pickering. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.